It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Classic movies are made of memorable characters, extraordinary narratives, and enduring themes. Behind these timeless films are a team of producers, actors, and directors, but at the root of the story are the screenwriters. Pittsburgh author Steve Cuden explores what it takes to create a great movie in his book, Beating Hollywood, Tips for Creating Unforgettable Screenplays. Steve joins us to talk about the films he analyzed and their successful commonalities. Steve Cuden, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's a really great pleasure to be here.
You mentioned books like The Hero of a Thousand Faces, the book that inspired George Lucas, among others, in Beating Hollywood. Did you read any other film analysis books like that in preparation for writing your own?
Oh, sure. I've read about 50-plus screenwriting books over the last 30-some-odd years. And, yeah, there are a lot of really great screenwriting books out there, in particular books like The Power of Film by Howard Suber, Save the Cat by Blake Snyder, Richard Walter's book on screenwriting, Hal Ackerman's book on screenwriting, Write Screenplays That Sell. And I really love Rewrite by Paul Chitlick, which is a very powerful book that helps people that once they've got a screenplay can actually guide you to rewriting it, which is essentially where the art of screenwriting comes in.
In the latter half of Beating Hollywood, you examined 40 films using your methods and tips. How did you select which films you would examine, and were there any that you could not fit in?
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few that I could not fit in. The 40 started out at about 100, and then I narrowed that down to about 50, and I actually analyzed 50 movies and wound up with 40 because it was just getting too long. The book comes in just under 500 pages, so it's quite a hefty book to begin with.
Wow.
And those 40 movies take up about 250 pages worth of book. And so it was actually quite a struggle to figure out which of the 40 movies in Beating Hollywood to choose over the rest that are really deserving. And maybe someday they'll get in a sequel of some kind.
Was there anything that surprised you when you started examining the movies for your book, something that you didn't catch the first time around but saw now that you were deconstructing them?
Well, you're always finding new things, and there's,
isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
we're going to extend this segment online, so whatever we don't get to in the few minutes we have remaining, we will get to as we extend this discussion and post it on our website at wesa.fm. But the movie MASH, which I've seen many times, the other night it came on, and I guess I never really noticed how much in that opening scene, the helicopter's going up, and there's a wounded guy. You can see he's bloody. And his hand is just hanging over the side, and he looks as though he might be dead. And it hit me in a dramatic way that I just hadn't felt before.
Well, one of the interesting things about storytelling in general is as you, the viewer, the audience, matures and gains knowledge about how stories work, your perspective on them shifts, as do artists and writers. Your perspective shifts over time, and as you look at movies in retrospect. I know there are many movies that I saw as a kid that I thought were one kind of a thing, and as an adult, I see them in an entirely different way. And certainly there are exceptional movies, truly exceptional movies, like Citizen Kane, which I've seen many times and always find something new in it. So it's a fascinating thing when a movie is able to do that for you. Not all do. Some are, you know, pretty simple and unable to give you a thrill each time. But there are movies like Citizen Kane. I love to watch What's Up, Doc for just all the craziness in
Forgot about that one, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually my favorite movie to watch over and over again because for some reason it's the only comedy that I personally that I'm able to watch over and over and continue to laugh.
That's always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm curious about the challenges in writing tips for the book. Did you find it hard, especially to go over the basics? You know, because I'm guessing you're trying to explain to people who might not understand this stuff.
Well, you know, I've been a writer for close to 40 years, and I have been teaching now here at Point Park University for the last five. And the combination of being a writer for a long time and being a teacher for the last five and writing two books, because I've written two books now, one called Beating Broadway that's about musicals. What that's done for me is it's enabled me to actually understand the form of story. And screenplays and movies are a kind of storytelling, obviously, much like a book would be, a novel. And storytelling has a specific form that has been around for the last 3,000 years or so, certainly since Aristotle and the Greeks were starting to tell, were starting to write plays, make plays. And we have come to understand what that form is. It's not a formula. Some people mistake it as a formula. It's not. There is a way that we tell a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end so that the listener actually understands that we're telling them a story as opposed to just a bunch of words strung together.
Well, I'm curious how you teach somebody to be a storyteller. You know, is this a God-given talent or is it something that can be taught? So that's one question I'll be asking you when we continue this conversation online. Also, I do want to get into your previous book, Beating Broadway, and comparing writing scripts for plays and musicals to writing something for film, as you explain in Beating Hollywood. We're talking with the author, Steve Cuden, author of Beating Hollywood, Tips for Creating Unforgettable Screenplays. He teaches at Point Park. And we will continue the discussion online as we are out of time. I'll give you an on-air thank you, Steve Cuden. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Paul. It's a pleasure.
And enjoy the Oscars on Sunday. Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. We're back again Monday. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend, everyone. Being a storyteller is a talent that I would imagine it's something that you can learn, but how much of writing is a God-given talent and how much can you teach somebody about telling stories if they just aren't a good writer to begin with?
Well, here's the thing. Talent is not something that can be taught. You either have talent or you don't. What can be taught is craft, and screenwriting is both an art and a craft. And the craft of it is understanding how the form of the screenplay works, how mechanically it works on paper, the length of it, the way that we write dialogue, et cetera, et cetera. Those things can be taught to you. I can teach you that in a course. I teach it all the time. What I can't teach you is to be a talented person. That is God-given. What we can do, however, if you have even a modest amount of talent, I can take that talent and develop it and make it grow and get much, much better. That we can do for sure. And I've seen it over and over again at Point Park with our fantastic students there who come in sometimes quite raw, do not really understand the form of the storytelling world at all. And by the time they leave after 4 years in school, they are swimming like fish as screenwriters. And, you know, we're still a very young program there. The screenwriting track is only 4.5 years old at this point. So we really don't have a lot of screenwriters who've graduated and gone out to Hollywood and made good. But that's coming, I can guarantee you.
And we're talking with Steve Cuden, who, as you just heard, teaches at Point Park. He's written a book called Beating Hollywood, Tips for Creating Unforgettable Screenplays. It's his second book. He started with a book called Beating Broadway on writing scripts for plays and musicals. Steve, did you find it easier to write Beating Hollywood as a result of writing Beating Broadway first?
Actually, I found it a little bit easier, but not a whole lot easier. The thing that I did discover in writing the two books that I sort of got to while I was writing Beating Broadway is that musicals, which are a little different animal than, say, a typical play, plays and novels have the ability to go vertical. What do I mean by that?
Yes.
It means that a story, you can start a story, a play, like Waiting for Godot, and you can start at a place in Godot and talk about whatever they're talking about and never progress the story forward. And by the end of Waiting for Godot, they're in the exact same place and nothing has really happened, right? So a play can do that. It can go vertically. That's up. It never goes forward. But movies must move forward like a shark. They must move forward or the audience will get restless and not pay any attention and leave. They'll vote with their feet, so to speak. Musicals, curiously enough, are exactly like movies. They must move forward. It's the same form. Musicals follow the same plot points.
Which is why they work on film.
Which is why they work on film is exactly right. And why, curiously, many plays are not transferable to film. There are lots of plays. You've never seen a movie of Waiting for Godot. Let's go back to that example. You've never seen one. Why? Because it's not a movie. It's a play. And that is an interesting way to look at it from my perspective. And that's what I found curious about beating Broadway going into beating Hollywood. I was able to transfer many of the same storytelling elements and modify them in a way that's much more meaningful for screenwriters. And then, of course, the movies are the movies. And I have a number of, well, I shouldn't say a number, but I have a few musicals that are actually in Beating Hollywood. So I've got Singin' in the Rain that I analyzed. I've got The Wizard of Oz. Those are musicals. So it translates quite naturally from musicals into screenplays in terms of the way stories are structured and formed.
In your book, you talk about screenwriting conventions that have gone back all the way to the Greeks. You mentioned this earlier in our discussion. Is there really much innovation when it comes to screenwriting these days? Are there things we can or are doing differently than what was done, say, in the 40s and the 50s?
I think that what has happened over time with the motion pictures over the last 100 plus years, they've progressed from a rather simple storytelling. Now, in Hollywood, one of the mantras is simple plot, complex character. So we've seen pretty much every plot you can imagine. We've seen it since the beginning of time through now. We know pretty much what a plot is going to be. And then what we're really interested in are compelling characters who are in some kind of conflict with other compelling characters, unique characters. So what has changed, I believe, over the last, let's call it 60 years, is audiences have become habituated to a certain kind of storytelling and to certain genres. And what filmmakers are increasingly doing, you can see it increasing over time.
Repeating it?
Not only repeating it, so you get something that feels formulaic out of some of the studios, but more importantly, we're seeing a crossbreeding of genres so that genres get crossed. Star Wars is an excellent example of crossbred genres. So what is Star Wars? Star Wars is a Western. It's a it's a detective story of sorts.
A love story.
It's a love story. It is also an Air Force movie. It's a samurai movie. You get all those genres sort of melded into this, and then it's science fiction on top of it. It's an outer space. So that is where we're heading increasingly. That's what's going on with a lot of the very high-budget comic book movies. They're crossbred hybrids.
And is there any difference you find between Hollywood screenplays and the scripts for foreign films?
Yeah, foreign films, well, that's a very broad category. Certainly many movies from outside of the United States follow the same natural form that we all do. What I find in certain European and Japanese movies in particular, that there are differences is they have no fear of spending more time on relationships and people maybe having more of a conversational thing going on rather than in Hollywood where the focus is always on this propulsion of activity. Hollywood movies must move, as I say, inexorably forward. Sometimes you get a nice foreign movie and they don't move forward as quickly or as actively. And so that's why you get, and of course, a lot of people in America won't bother with a foreign movie because it has what? Subtitles. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to read while they're watching a movie. So there are differences in that way. But lots and lots of European movies and Japanese movies, certainly, and out of many countries, not in Europe or Japan, follow the Hollywood form or the Western form so that they can sell into an international market.
Have you ever written a screenplay?
Oh, yes, I've written many. I've got about 90 teleplays I've written, mostly for animation. So I've written for 35-plus different TV series, most of them for kids, for Saturday morning-type shows or afternoon shows. So I've written for The X-Men and The Pink Panther, and I've written for Lunatics Unleashed and Shaolin Showdown and The Mask and Iron Man and The Batman and shows like that.
Stuff I've seen, for sure. and do you have a favorite film?
I would say my favorite movie of all time is probably going to be The French Connection.
Hmm. It looks a little slow when there's some great scenes, of course, but it when I re-watched it recently, I noticed that they let the plot develop a little more slowly in those days than they do now.
That's absolutely true. And I think that that has, again, to do with habituation and the fact that our modern audiences, our modern audiences of today, are so used to flipping the channel at home. They're so used to MTV and fast cutting and so on that movies from, let's say, 30 years and before have a slower pace to them. The French Connection unfolds in a very, I wouldn't call it a laconic way, but let's say that it takes a little while to get going. And certainly, anytime I'm watching TV and I see the French Connection on, I've got nothing else to do, I'll stop and watch it. And especially if I can watch The Chase. The Chase is, you know, eminently watchable.
One of the greatest ever.
Ever.
With Popeye Doyle, played by Gene Hackman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has been a delight talking with you, Steve. Steve Cuden has been our guest. He's a Pittsburgh author, and his latest book is Beating Hollywood, Tips for Creating Unforgettable Screenplays. He also teaches at Point Park and joined us in studio. Steve Cuden, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Paul. This has been a great treat.